Let us go to the Word, John 14, verses 1 to 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. God is the Lord of faith. 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 Hebrews 12:2. He's the Lord of faith, for he instructs the way he decided before the creation. He teaches this way that he decided before the creation. So Job 36:23 says, he has prescribed his ways. Psalm 25:12 says, he will instruct them in the ways they should choose. Psalm 32 verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. So he instructs and teaches the way that he decided in eternity. That's before the creation. And he takes those whose walk is blameless to his house, and he lets them minister to him. How many of us want to go to his house? Pain is gone, and we just long to breathe the air of heaven, where there is only joy and happiness and peace and love in the presence of our beloved Father, the Father of our souls, the Savior of souls. We want to be there, yes? Seeing him face to face and minister him for eternity. That longing is faith, the faith that we have in the Lord of faith, which is to believe that God knows the way, and specifically Yeshua, the one who comes from him, who was sent by him as man, Jesus Christ, knowing that he is the way to the Father's house. And there is only one way. Amen? All the songs kind of like lined up together. I mean, we didn't plan it like that, but it's just the way it is. He is the way and the only way. Amen? Yeah? Job 38:20 says, can you take them to their places? Do you know the paths to their dwellings? The Father knows the paths, the way to his house. And that's why he said, no one can come to the Father except through me, because he alone is the way. So having that faith, we have to live that faith, which is what Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Holding unswervingly to the hope we profess. What is the hope that we have, folks? Eternal life. And where is that eternal life given? In the Father's house. And where is the Father's house? In the spiritual heaven, outside the universe. So we have ways to go. And therefore, I need to keep that hope and that dream, that desire alive until I arrive there. Amen. That means to finish the way, and we call it the way of faith. Finish the way. As the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. It's a good verse to memorize. What is it? I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Once more. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. That is the model that we have. To keep the faith, to keep on going, to fight the good fight, and finish the race. What's the point of running a race when you don't finish it? All right, that's why when a marathon runner runs for 42 point whatever kilometers, which is super challenging for the body, for it is a test of endurance, and is perhaps the most challenging game in the Olympics, it is the highlight of it, the climax. So, yes, we celebrate the winner who finishes it the quickest, the 2 hours something, whatever. It's just unbelievable. But even people who don't make anywhere close to that time, maybe 3 hours it takes them, even close to four. I think I saw some like highlight somewhere in South Asia. This person finished the last, but her cheering, fans, her family and friends who are there in downpour. She finishes the race as a young woman and finishes the marathon, and she's crying, and there's like a thundering of the remaining fans just clapping. Because that's the point of a race, to finish. So the way of faith is equal to the profession of faith. So we call it confession, but also profession. And profession is the same word as what you do for your paid job, right? And you have an expertise in it, paid occupation. But it also has a meaning of declaration of belief. So it's the same meaning as confession. So if we're a Christian, if I'm a Christian, I have to confess my faith. I have to profess what I believe in. And I believe that Yeshua is the God who came as man, who died and paid the price of my sin, but he was raised back to life to testify that he is God and that he is the Savior of the world and he is coming back. Amen? So this profession of faith is the way of faith. I need to live each and every day professing this faith, and that this way must be finished. I can't go the way for 10 years and call it quits. I can't go the way 20 years and call it quits. I need to go the way and finish the way. Now, the way refers to a physical road. So you can use the word path and road and street where we physically travel along by foot, by car, or whatever it is. Even airplanes need runways, right? So, and even the ocean. In the oceans, there is an ocean way, I guess. Yeah. So even though there's nothing paved or painted, they have an agreement of where to travel and where not to. So these are the physical ways in which we travel. But it also has a meaning of style or a manner of doing something and a way of life. A way of life. So a way of life refers to the idea of some mannerism or some style or a method of how one lives. And whether you're talking about physical way, physical road, or this sort of other meaning of life path, the outcome can be very different. So the ways in which you choose a path can bring you different result. So even when you're doing your GPS, and there's an app called Waze, right? Waze. So they give you options. Option one, option two, option three, the fastest way, fastest route they highlight. And then I don't know why anyone would choose the slowest route, but they highlight the fastest. In case you want the slowest, you could choose that option too. Okay, so maybe someone wants that. So they give you these options to get to that one destination, and you can get there. But when you have some path that you choose in life, you can have an outcome that is completely different in the end. So the path is very important, and sticking to the path is important. Now, speaking of this path, and Jesus referring to him as the way, it is Christian, is the Christian faith and Christian way of living, follow the way of faith. And therefore, early Christians, and I don't mean like the initial early church, but in the medieval times, and we're talking primarily the Catholic Church, where it had heavy influence in the European continent and the former Roman, empire colonies and so on. They were taught to go on what's called pilgrimage. So pilgrimage is this notion for in the Old Testament, Jewish people making pilgrimage to Jerusalem, the Temple of Jerusalem during the feast time. Muslim, I think there is one happening right now. It's called Hajj. So they go to Mecca and they pay their respect to that place, which is connected to Muhammad and their whatever teaching. But the Catholics, starting off with the Christian Bible, but then they have their own understanding and they add on all these kind of things to really add on a lot of load on the followers. They highlight pilgrimage or being pilgrims or pilgrimage, which they get from Hebrews, which we talked about before. We are pilgrims on earth. We don't have any place that we settled down, but we travel until we go to a better country, which is our heavenly home. But the way the medieval Catholics interpreted that was, literally, that's what you have to do, travel and travel. But they actually connect it to a way to repent, a way to pay for your own sins. So penance, Catholics use the concept of penance. So instead of repentance, they use the concept of penance, which is that if you've done wrong, you talk to your priest, and the priest will prescribe you. Like, this is what you need to do to get your sins atoned for. We don't believe that, right? The atoning sacrifice has already been made once for all, and that is Yeshua. But the Catholics, even though they call them Christians, this is part of their teaching. And usually who are more serious Catholics and the monks in the medieval times will make these ways. And I remember having this conversation with someone who was Catholic background, but was not really practicing. So I met her to preach. I met her at the gym some years ago, and I was trying to preach to her. And then she was like, yeah, I read the Bible, and I believe heaven and heaven. But you know, what I really want to do is I want to go on this walk in Europe. And I said, what, walk about? Like, what is a walk? So it's called Camino de Santiago. Maybe you might have heard that, right? It's a very well-known pilgrimage route in Europe. So it comes from different roadways, and it ends up in the northwestern part of Spain. And I had to kind of read up on that, because I remember when she was saying it, and I was like, why would you want to do that? She goes, oh, it's a spiritual experience. People go on the walk, and it's hundreds of miles. So they go on foot, and now it's like a tourist, you know, path that people travel to see the sites. But the tradition has it, according to the Catholic Church, is that the remains of James, the disciple of Jesus, was somehow transferred by the angels to this location. I think sixth century or something like that. So then the Catholics would make this pilgrimage as a way of punishment. So if you sin and you've done something wrong, your pilgrimage is going to be longer and more harsh. And at the time, and even now, some Catholic orders or whatever, they still practice this, which is that if someone has made committed grave sin, they are given a heavy backpack. So a heavy backpack representing the weight of your sin. So wearing the heavy backpack, you go on the pilgrimage. Sometimes there's a guide watching you that you make this way. So the way they understand the way is the way of suffering to pay your way out, if you will, like pay your dues, and then you come back to God. So that's their understanding of pilgrimage. That's the understanding of the way of faith. So like the person that I was talking to, I said, but no, the way of faith is that we believe, and believe is obedience. We have to follow the word of Yeshua. He paid the way, and only he can do that. And he paid the price, so all we have to do is believe. And after that, we live a life that is following him, not literally walking this Camino de Santiago in Europe, right? But that's how like, people like to do. Like people think of a way to do their religious thing. Like they have an experience, and then they go about their way. They do their own thing. So that's what religiosity drives people to do. But what the Bible tells us is that there is a road map to the Father's house. As we sang that song, the hymn of heaven, just singing it, it's just like just arouses this feeling of longing and love and that deep desire we have for the Father's house, doesn't it? Do you want to go to the Father's house in heaven? Yes. And the Bible shows us, or it is actually the road map. It's the Google map to directions to the Father's house. It shows, illustrates, and indicates the hidden path. And in Job 28, verse 7 says, no bird of prey knows that hidden path. No falcon's eye has seen it. If you know anything about birds, especially falcons, hawks, or eagles, they have good eyes. They will see their prey from all far above, and they will go, it's like supersonic, fighter jet, like coming and snatch the prey and go up. Even in their eyes, however, this path is hidden, the Bible says. And verse 23 of Job 28 says, God understands the way to it. He alone knows where it dwells. So the way to the Father's house, where every man ought to return after their death, is hidden. But God only knows, therefore, the way for us to find it is in the Bible. Amen? Because the way we were made is that we're not just physical bodies that live one life and returns to dust after it dies, but that we are spiritual beings. We are living beings. Amen? I'm looking around the room if we need help. Yes? In Genesis 2:7, God made man from the dust of the ground and breathed into him breath of life, and man became a living being. A living being is dual. The flesh lives one life. After it dies, it perishes in the ground and goes back to dust. But the spirit that came from God must return to God. That's the way it is. It's the way that with God decided in the beginning. But a problem occurred in the garden. And that is a deceiver. The deceiver was there. And that's the devil who came in the form of a snake, serpent, and spoke to Eve and through Eve, Adam. That was to break the word that was given to them as command. That said, you couldn't eat from any tree in the garden except from this one tree called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of it, you will surely die. forgetting the word of God and being tempted by the sweet words of the devil, that you will not surely die even if you eat of it. You will actually become like God. Open your eyes and know things of God. And therefore, Eve ate, Adam ate, and the result was not to become like God, but to become afraid and be ashamed of their nakedness and be afraid of the consequence of what they had done. Because what they had done now was sin. Sin is to be broken away, separated from God. The separation from God is called sin. To make that a reality, God banished them from the Garden of Eden. A flaming sword was put around the garden so they cannot make their way back. So the flaming sword around the garden represents this roadblock. Roadblock to the Father's house, roadblock to God. So no man can know the way, Proverbs 20:24 says. No one can know the way. No bird, no falcon, only God knows the way, and the way has been shut down. Because of what? Because of sin. Because of sin. But the Bible, the rest of the history from then on, is God showing the way by opening the path through the profession and the actions of men of faith. Heroes of faith, as we say. The heroes of faith. The heroes of faith, starting with Abraham, and then his son Isaac, then Jacob. Right, so they did all their things for their faith, by their faith. Now Jacob, one of the twins who stole the birthright of his brother Esau, was on the run because his brother found out what happened and he was angry, he was going to kill him. So Jacob is on the run and he's desperate. Now he's going to his uncle's home as his mother directed. He's afraid and sad. He's heartbroken and he doesn't know what's waiting for him. So when he has this dream of seeing the vision of staircase to heaven, and he calls this place a place where he saw God, and he makes an altar and he makes a vow in Genesis 28. He said, "If I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God." So meaning, after the long, harsh, sad journey, if God allows me back to go back to my father's house, then I will be sure to serve God as my Lord. That's what he said. And God did lead him back to his father's home. And later from him, because he receives a blessing in the name of a new name that he is given, that was Israel. When he met a man and wrestled with him, right? And the man said, "What is your name?" "Jacob." "Well, your name now is Israel." And that was the blessing he got. And a people will come from him. A people. Many, many descendants will come from him, and they are called Israel. Because Jacob's name is Israel. He receives the blessing, and the blessing passes down. And there are many, many people coming from him. Now, when they did become many as 2 million people, they were residing in Egypt. And their status was, their occupation was, what is your occupation? Slave, S-L-A-V, yeah, slave, yeah. That was the people of Israel. But God sent Moses to bring them out of their slavery, out of Egypt, to become the people of God. So it is the Lord who makes the way, and describing that in Joshua 3:4, that they will be led a way that they had never been to. So it will be a new way. They had never been there, but they will be going that way because the Lord will lead them. So starting with Moses being their leader, right, through the Passover lamb, the blood that was put around the door frame, the people of Israel, 2 million of, again, it says 600,000 males, but you add on the extras that are not recorded, you have 2 million people, leaving overnight. So that becomes the way. And then the path opens for them, and the path is the Red Sea. So Psalm 77:19 says, "Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen." So they could not see God, but when Moses raised his arm with the staff, the sea parted. It was open, like a highway open, so the people walked through. So they followed the way, and they crossed the Red Sea, and then they enter the wilderness, the desert. So there, they journeyed for 40 years. So did it take that long from Egypt to go to Canaan, Israel? No, there was actually a shorter way. What? Because if you had Google, it would be like, it will take you 11 days. 11 days? But what happened to them? They were there for, again, how many years? What happened? GPS was not working. They lost signal. Exodus 13, 17 to 18 says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. Dun, 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 dun. God was like, shh, don't tell them. They could have gone through Goshen land, and then that would have taken about 11 days on foot, even with little children. But the people are taken different ways, because that's because God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. So this is before crossing the Red Sea. They did a roundabout to end up in before the Red Sea to have no other choice but to cross it, because they were sandwiched between the Red Sea in front of them and who? The Egyptians. We change our minds. Stand. Stop. We change our mind. We want you back. No, we're taking you back. That's what they're saying. So they had no choice but to step their foot into the Red Sea as Moses commanded them according to God's command. But certainly God's faithful. They crossed the Red Sea, and in the desert they were led by pillars of fire and of clouds. A pillar of fire and pillar of clouds, pillar of fire by the night and pillar of clouds during the day. So many, many people, they can't see. Even if the tour guide had an umbrella, they could not see. All they could see was this mat. I thought pillar used to be like tiny, but I saw like a, you know, digitally like depicting this thing. The pillar is huge because it's a lot of people. They had to see the pillar in front of them. So everyone would follow where the pillars went. And then in the desert, Exodus 18:20 says, they were given God's decrees and instructions. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. So for them to know how to live each and every day, they had to go to the law, which is referred to as decrees and instructions, what to do and what not to do. So the Ten Commandments plus more. Altogether, 613. Wow. There are many, many points to the law, but this is the way in which they were to follow. And then when they obeyed, they were promised to enter the land of Canaan. During that time, they had to repeat this, copy and paste, every single day for 40 years in the desert. That's described in Job 12:24 as a trackless waste. So in desert, by definition, there's no roads because it's so windy that you may see something flatten and you turn around the windstorm and then it's all gone. And you think like, wait, where am I? You couldn't tell left from left and right because you can't see the way before you. So it is trackless, traceless, if you will, waste. And because this road was so difficult, they were disheartened and discouraged. So they naturally complained. They grumbled. And as a result, God sent a venomous snake in Numbers 21. And they were bitten by these poisonous snakes and many died. But because God had mercy, as Moses cried out to him, God had him make a bronze snake and whoever looked was healed. So this was sort of experience that repeated over and over again. And during that time, all but two died. Describing that in 1 Corinthians 10, 9 to 10, it says, we should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. So there Paul is, you know, citing, reminding the story of the people of Israel in the desert. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. So the people grumble because the road was difficult. But this road, this way, was already decided by God. God decided the way. Who decided the way? And when did he decide the way? God already determined the way before the creation. He decides it and he leads the way, and which means he becomes the way. So again, all these objects led them throughout the desert life. The ark was where the name of Jehovah was. And the ark was stationed in the tabernacle when they were camped. But when they moved, the ark went before them. And the ark didn't like fly by itself. The priests carried the ark. So it had poles, and they carry it on their shoulders. And wherever the ark went, they went. Again, the ark representing the Lord God, Jehovah. What's the name? There you go. All right. So I'm going to be like playing game. What's the name? All right, let's see which team's going to win. 1, 2, 3, 4. You're in competition, all right? So, Ark made the way, and from the desert, finally, after Moses died, Joshua leading them, the Ark went before, and the Jordan dried up. The Jordan River dried up for the people to walk through the sea once again and enter the promised land. even after entering the promised land, however, the people were still destroyed because they disobeyed the commandments of God, his decrees and his instructions. And they returned to ways even more corrupt, Judges 2:19 says, even more corrupt than before. They started worshiping Gentile gods and they started doing detestable things in the eyes of God. Therefore, the enemies will come and conquer them and take them as captives. They will lose their sovereignty and they will be enslaved. They will go through famine and plagues. Their lives were miserable as a result of not following the way of Jehovah. But because the temple of Jerusalem was in their midst with the ark inside, the name of Jehovah, the name of the God of their ancestors who led them through the desert way and led them so they would have rest, they would have restoration, they kept their faith going for one day for their nation to be restored. So one man claiming himself to be the Son of God, coming in the name of God, Yeshua, what did he say about the temple that the people of Israel got upset about? Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. So all this is set up like the impact. It was for us to understand the impact of what Yeshua said. Yeshua is actually speaking of the temple of his body. He's referring to his death and after that is what? Resurrection. So he's prophesying his death and his resurrection. And he is equating his body to the temple. But he's not talking about the building that will be torn down, although it is torn down later on. He's not talking about raising up that building, but he's talking about the temple that's not made by hands, but that is of the spirit, of a spiritual. Because now he, not in the name of Jehovah, but in the Father's name, John 5:43, the name of Yeshua, himself will become the way. Amen. Yeshua, the way. So he becomes the way. He will become the way. He himself will lead the way. And that is not following the ark to go to a resting place called the land of Canaan and claim it as your land where there's still war and famine and sin and temptations and death. But he is saying, I'm going to lead the souls of men, not a small group of men who is coming from Abraham's lineage, but the souls of all nations will have a chance to follow the way, come on the way, walk on the way, and go to the Father's house in heaven. Hallelujah. By giving life to the souls of men, not life to the flesh to extend the breath, but life to the souls through his own body, his blood, that they would be given the chance to walk on the way, not the Camino de Santiago, but the way, Yeshua, to the Father's house. Hallelujah! That's why he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. What else did he say? Let's go to Matthew 7 together. Matthew 7, 13 to 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Not a really happy note, is it? Yeah? It's like, oh man, what is this about? Well, this is the word of Yeshua who called himself the way. He called himself the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. But everyone likes it. Everyone likes wide and easy road. Easy road, easy way. Everyone likes the easy way. But the end is destruction. But if you want life, if you want eternal life and you want to go to the Father's house, expect that way is going to be narrow and small, therefore difficult and unpopular. People are not going to want it. They're not going to walk on it. Only a few will find it. So when Yeshua said, I am the way, he is saying the way to life, to eternal life. He is saying, I am that narrow road. So I am the way, meaning not a broad way for everyone to come, even though he will make the way for all to have a chance to come. All. He is the way for all men to come, not just the Jewish people, Jews and Gentile, male and female, free or slave, civilized or barbaric, whoever you are, educated, uneducated, all come. But for you to stay on the walk, you need to choose that walk first, the path first, and then stay on it, but expect it to be narrow, unpopular, difficult, and even risky. So certain things that Yeshua did, like performing miracles and healing the sick, people loved, and that's why multitudes followed him. But when he kept speaking of these spiritual things, they couldn't take it. So in John 6, we see that. Like, he performs a miracle of multiplying the fish and the bread, and people just follow him. And they follow him, expecting him to be in a certain place, and they're wanting to eat more bread, to see more signs. But he is saying, I'm the bread from heaven. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. And he's talking about eternal life. And in the end, they were just like pulling their hair out. I don't understand what he's saying. We can't eat flesh. We can't drink blood. And many of them left. And that is exactly what happened. By the time that men came to arrest him, to accuse him of what he had said about the temple, but this is all according to the way that was decided in the beginning by God, Yeshua did not perform any signs. He did not call on down the angels to protect him, which he could have, because he is God. Yes? Where does it say that? You tell me, where does it say that? John 1:1, let's go. Let's go, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in the beginning there is not beginning of time, but this is before the beginning of Genesis 1. So even though John is later in terms of the order of the books in the Bible, this moment is when God decided to reveal himself as the Word, to manifest himself. Because God is invisible, he's too great, no one can know him, no one can see him. Only when he reveals himself in his way, men can know him. Not other creatures, but humans. So God decided in eternity, before he made anything or anything happen, God decided that he's going to reveal himself. And the way was decided. The way. So he decided to reveal himself, number one. And the way he's going to reveal himself is the Word. The Word is the way. WW. Yes? The Word is the way that God decided to reveal himself. So the word whole logos in Greek is the self-manifestation of God. The way was decided. Now, it's not only like, here am I, like, ta-da. Like, ta-da. That's not how Yeshua came and said, here I am, ta-da. Oh, wow. Okay, good. No. The way he's going to reveal himself is, yes, being born in the flesh of man, mature, develop, just like us, but ultimately go to the cross. That way was already determined in the beginning. So when we read it, we have to read so many things in there. It's like, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So we're talking about the part of God, equal to God in essence, knowing no sin, having nothing to do with sin, because he's not of the flesh of the world, but he is God. But in verse 14 says, altogether, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And connected today is 18. 18, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only who is at the Father's side, has made him known. No prey, no bird, no prey, no falcon can know the way. Only God knows the way. But he wasn't going to keep it in hidden state or in secrecy forever. But he had planned to reveal himself. That's what we're reading here. Already the grace of God to want to reveal himself to humans like us, sinners like us, undeserving, unclean creatures like us. He decided. But in the Word is already, I was talking about the Word, the prison break, like there's tattoo map on it. The Word already has the way. The way it's going to happen is that through his death on the cross, he's going to fully, completely reveal himself. So when Yeshua was arrested, he did not try to defend himself. When he was brought to Pontius Pilate, he did not defend himself. But he was led away like silent lamb, being beaten, spat on, pulled on, and then flogged and stripped naked and nailed to the cross. And as he hung there for hours and hours, bleeding out, like a sinner, like an animal. In his last breath, he said, it is finished. That is the moment he finished his race. He finished his path, his way. Amen? His way to fulfill the Father's will of revealing him, revealing his glory. Hallelujah. He finished the way of the Son of Man. So Yeshua is the Son of God. As Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But in Matthew 20, 28, and in many other places, he referred to himself as the Son of Man. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve by giving his life as a ransom for many. I have come to serve the Son of Man, the Son of Man. Why would he speak of himself in third person, and especially as the Son of Man? Though he is God, he's highlighting the fact that the reason why I'm here in the flesh of man is because the Word became flesh. God became flesh. Say it with me. The Word became flesh. God became flesh. And the fact that God became flesh and came to be known as the Son of Man, only the Son of Man, as the Son, can experience suffering and death that God the Father knows not of. Do you understand? God does not know sin. God does not know suffering. God does not know death ever. But the part of God that would know shame, suffering, and death is the Word, whole logos, the way. Do you understand this? Are the sparks flying, like making the connections? That's why when Adam ate the fruit and was being banished, God said, now the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Hallelujah! So knowing one of us, being like one of us, meaning that's the Son out of the Trinity, the triune, the three persons. Only the Son knows that experience. So as the Son of Man, the one who knows no sin became sin. And on the cross, he had finished the way, that walk that he had to walk until the end. The finish line was his death. And as he died, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Meaning, I trust you, Father, that you will give me back my life. And that you will lead me to the path of life. Which is what Psalm 16, 11 says. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. After I have walked this path, I'm going to die, but you will raise me back to life and take me to your place, the Father's house, and I will be seated at the right hand of the majesty. Hallelujah! Also Psalm 23 that we know very well of. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He refreshes my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He leads me to right path. He's leading me to the way of righteousness. And that is the confession, the profession of the Son of Man, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Don't you love the Bible? How perfect it is. All the prophecy of the Old Testament were fulfilled through the one-time death of Yeshua. And as he died, it was in the form of submission to the Father's command. And through that perfect submission, he judged the rebellious origin of sin, the devil. The one who caused the wall of sin between God and man. That Yeshua, through his torn flesh, tore the wall down. Hallelujah! And the walls came tumbling down. Hallelujah! That's what Ephesians 2:14 says, the wall of hostility. Remember, I said sin is the separation between God and men. The things that, wicked things that we do are patterns, like symptoms of that state. Because we are separated from God. We do all these evil things. The source is the origin of sin. That's the devil. And Yeshua, through his torn flesh, as Hebrews 10:20 says, by a new and living way opened for us. He tore his flesh, the temple veil tore, symbolizing the wall between God and mankind, now torn down. The way has been opened. You have made a way. You have opened the way for us to go to the Father and the Father's house. Hallelujah. Where we could never imagine. Where we could never imagine. How can sinners? We can't even go to Mars, folks. We're just dreaming. Or at least it's Elon Musk's dream to go to Mars. We can't even get out of here. It's like, it's physically impossible, but more importantly, spiritually impossible, because we all inherited the sin of Adam in our spirit being born as human. We're all living being, meaning we all have spirit inside this bodies, and the spirit has inherited the sin from Adam, because we all belong to Adam. But you can't just blame the guy and say, it's not my fault. Why do I have to feel guilty because of him? Well, to make sure that you feel guilty, God gave the law as mirror to show. Are you following the decrees? Are you following the instruction? No, I fail. See, you're a sinner. Inside, there is spirit sin that will bring you to hell. That was the destiny for all mankind when Adam sinned. We did not know that. But that's why the law was given, to highlight all kinds of sins that we are guilty of. But because Yeshua took on the sin onto his body and died as an atoning sacrifice, as redemption, as ransom, he tore his flesh and let out his precious blood. The blood is the path. He paved the road with his own blood so we can walk on the precious blood to the Father's house. Hallelujah. He made the way out of this burning universe where we cannot even imagine. The Father raised him back to life, therefore, according to his promise to the Father. And the Father brought him to the holy city, which is another name for the Father's house in heaven. Psalm 107 says he led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. So that is representing not just the pilgrims being led to a city where they will settle forever, but that's actually about Yeshua, the Father raising him up and now taking him to the city, the Father's house in heaven, where he would dwell there forever, seated on the throne as the Lord of faith. Hallelujah! He made the way so that those who believe and receive the blood of Yeshua can also follow him on the way, walk on the way, and come to the Father's house. And for that, the Holy Spirit was sent in his name, Yeshua. He comes not to the unbelieving world, but the believing world. Are you a believer? What do you believe? We have to believe Yeshua is God, the sinless God who died in the place of men, in my place. Because sinners must die. Wage of sin is death. The wage of sin is death. And it's not physical death, but spirit death. That's why all men became destined to go to hell. And where is hell? This universe where we live. This will become the burning hell in the end. But to save us, he made a way by becoming sin and by hanging on the cross, even though he knows no sin. He has nothing to do with sin because he is God. But that moment of his death, sin was laid on his body. Like an animal that was transferred on with the sin of the confessing sinner, as it was done in the Old Testament, the sin of the world of Adam, one man Adam, because all men are one in the spirit, Adam. He died with the sin of Adam on his body, but he resurrected after his death to testify that he is without sin, that he is the Holy One. Do you believe that? And that he resurrected and sat down on the throne in heaven. It didn't end there. The schedule of God includes that he is coming back. How many of you believe that Jesus is coming back? And when he comes back, he will take only those who have the faith. You've been hearing faith, 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 faith. Every week, faith, faith, faith. What is faith? Faith is not an idea. Faith is what you do according to that idea. So profession, we start with profession, but that profession is not just verbal. I need to take action. That's why we start with being baptized, taking a step towards the way. Setting my foot into the path, into the way, starting with the first commandment that he gave, which is in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, baptize. So that is the moment that I am forgiven, I am cleansed, I am justified by the blood of Yeshua. Say amen if you have received the blood of Yeshua and been cleansed, justified, and been born again as child of God. If that's you, say amen. Amen. The blood has done that, which is the grace of God. He made the way, and that's the grace of God. But the Holy Spirit coming into such believers teaches us the way. The way. He teaches us the way. And that way was decided before the creation. And that way is what we need to walk on each and every day. The reason why we need to pray every day is to know which path to take every day. Yes? Every day you have paths to take. Every day, even though you're getting on the same path or same subway, same highway, same road, and you could even go over there with your eyes closed, it's just a repeat, repeat. But you are making decisions every moment of your day. It's not about like, should I have like hamburger? I have tried McDonald's or Burger King. How about Taco Bell? Yeah. So it's not about what you eat about lunch, but it's about which path to take. Who do I meet? What do I say? Where do I go? How do I spend my time? So the path that I need to take each and every day, the Holy Spirit shows. Also Psalm 25:4 says, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Also Psalm 143:8 says, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. For I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go. For to you I entrust my life. So a man who is made by the Holy Spirit, who has received the blood of Yeshua, is a man who kneels before the name of Yeshua, seeking humbly the wisdom, the instruction as to which path to take every day. Amen? That's what you should be praying for. I pray for that every day. Show me your way. Show me the path. Show me your way of righteousness. Because I don't know what decisions to make. I don't know what critical decision I will need to make on this day. Show me the way. So the believer is someone who starts off this path by the grace and grace of God and only the grace of God. Let's go to Hebrews 10:19 and read that together. 10:19-23. Hebrews. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised us is faithful. So what it tells us is that we start our faith life. We begin this relationship with God, with Yeshua as my Lord and my Savior, my Father, our Father in heaven. Say amen if that's your relationship with him. And how did you get there? How did you establish that relationship? Because you deserve it? Because you walked on the Camino de Santiago with the backpack? No. It is by his grace, by his blood, by the blood of Yeshua. Say it with me. That is the grace of God. So I say the grace of God and you say? And the blood of Yeshua is? The grace of God. Hallelujah. It is not by my works. I don't have any works. It is only by his grace. And as Paul also said in Galatians 1:6, it's by his grace I have been called. How did I ever come to hear the gospel? Well, my mom came to church and I was born here and that's how I heard it. When your mom or your dad was called or whoever was called, you were also called. By grace. By grace. You are called by grace to hear the good news of Yeshua. The good news of the blood of Yeshua. That cleanses your soul and gives birth to your soul. Gives that new life. Now you're justified before the righteous God. And it is by his grace and by his blood alone that you can go before him. Come before him on the blessed holy day like today. To worship him and dare to expect to be received. It is only possible by his grace. Because he opened the way. Hallelujah. So it is knowing that as grace, now I walk on this new and living way, which is the blood of Yeshua. And also describing that in Psalm 84 verse 5, it actually says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose heart are in pilgrimage, in most translations. But I had to dig through. ESV actually says highways to Zion. There's a couple others, but highways. But another translation a bit ago, it used to say King's Highway. The king's highway. So every places where there's king's palace, like in European countries or Latin America, you have this big plaza, right? So from King's Highway, there's a open road, really nice and smooth and open road where the army can be dispatched. The king can be carried to and from. So there is this King's Highway open. So this new and living way, which is the way that the Lord opened, he himself who referred to himself as the way, in the eyes of the world, maybe, you guys, it's the 4th of July. It's a long weekend. Where are you going? Going to church. Going to church. No, I'm walking on King's Highway. I'm going to church. You want to come with me? Hallelujah. Uh-oh, the proud people are only these three rows. What happened to you guys? Amen? Spencer, do I have your amen? Say amen. Help him out. Amen. Oh my gosh, there's no helper. Over there, yes? Amen. Philip, how about you? Amen. He's like, okay, amen. Because I receive grace, a king's highway is open, even in the eyes of the Lord, that it is a narrow and difficult and unpopular, not like, not popular, not liked, because it is small, narrow, stuffy, lonely, dangerous, risky. We have to keep in mind where the end is of this road. What is the end of this road? Where is it leading us? Where is it leading us? To the Father's house. And how did you walk on this? How did you begin this walk? Well, somebody pushed me. Somebody pushed me or yanked me or dragged me. So that's why if you think that you're being dragged around, well, because my parents, yeah, I come, or because of my wife. I think I might have said a long time ago, there was a member who said, I come to church because my wife won't make lunch if I don't come to church. So, and it was because Pastor King said to the wife, don't make him lunch unless he comes to church. I mean, again, that could be the beginning, but it can't be the reason why you keep on coming. Coming to the Lord, coming to God, it's by my faith that believes and receives the works of Jesus Christ, the works of Yeshua, which is the blood of Yeshua he shed for me, that I, by my choice, receive and decide to walk following his way. How many of you made the choice? How many of you made the choice and you're proud of it? Amen. And when you say amen, it means there, I don't turn back, no matter how difficult this road is. No turning back. Amen. Amen? Amen? I need to zoom in. I need to zoom in a little bit. Who's saying amen, who's not? Because they could be going like, no turning back. Because by his grace, he called me and I'm walking on the King's highway. Even though in the eyes of the world, it is a narrow way. But it's the way that the King has shed his blood for me to walk on. And he successfully arrived in the Father's house. So he made his footsteps be known. And now I know the footsteps. I know his steps. Psalm 85:13, righteousness goes before him and prepares the way of his steps. The steps that the Lord took. The Holy Spirit is leading me the way through the church today. I know his way. I'm following the way. And I am determined to finish the way. Amen. As the Lord knew his way from the beginning, it was by that way he was sent by the Father, and he never took his eyes off of the way. Even if people came to him and said, oh, we love you and we wanted to make you king, why don't you live your happily ever after with us? The Lord was never ever tempted. Even though that his way on earth will end with his death on the cross, and not just any death, but the cross. The worst form of all. He knew that that was the way that he had to go. Can you imagine being born and knowing every single moment of your life, that is why you were born? But well knowing the way, though he was tested and tempted, he resisted and he overcame, and ultimately he finished the way, that is the narrow and small and dangerous and thorny way of life, way to life, the way to eternal life. The Holy Spirit in us shows that way today. As the Lord said, if you want to follow me, take up your cross. Take up your cross and follow me. I know, I was preparing this word and I said, like, wow, how unreal it is today, how untimely. I mean, people are going on vacation and having relaxed time, especially this weekend, and you're sitting there, a room, bunch of young people, cross. What? What is a cross? I wear a cross. I know this church doesn't have a cross. Church, we do not, whether a church or an individual, you can wear a cross, you can hang a cross, but that is not what we believe. We don't believe the cross, but we teach the way of cross, right? The cross is not object of our faith. Because cross is a sign of, cursed are those who hang on a cross. That's what the Bible says, right? So those who are die on a cross are cursed because they're paying the price of their sin. And Yeshua became cursed when he died as sin for us. But because of that, he did not stay there. He's no longer there. That's where the crucifix is wrong. Like the cathedrals have the humongous cross with Yeshua. He's always dead. Or he's always a baby. It's wrong. He's not there anymore. He had overcome the death. He overcame death. He overcame the curse. He overcame the grave. He defeated the devil. He is the victor, the winner. He is the savior of the world. He's the King of Kings. Hallelujah. So we believe his victory that was accomplished through the cross. So cross, even though the world thinks of it as symbol, the walk is a symbol. But the cross, when the Lord said, take up your cross and follow me. If you want to enter the Father's house, the way is narrow. I am the way, but that way is narrow. But the end of that road, at the end of that road, is that heaven where all pain's gone, all suffering, all shame, only peace and joy and gladness. There's no more sickness. There's no suffering. There is no loneliness, but there is only peace. There's only love. There's no more sin, no more death. That is the Father's house where there's welcoming and embracing of the return of his children. How many of us want to go there? But expect the way to be difficult. Expect the way to be hard. But if we're made by the Holy Spirit, he reminds us, you made the choice. You chose the way. When you chose Yeshua to be your Lord and your Savior, you chose the way because he is the way. Amen? It's like, I did not know that I signed up for this. Yeah, so know what you're signing. Read the fine prints. Because many people can still be coming because I like the crowd. I like the community. These people are nice and they're giving blood. They're going to go and help the flood victims. Nice people. We're not nice people. No, I'm not nice. We're not. Yeah, we know you're not nice, Pastor. Yeah, we're not nice. We're not nice. By nature, we're not nice people. We're not. We're not elegant people. We're not noble people. We're not respectful people, honorable people in the world. We are sinners, wretched, undesirable, unworthy. But it is only by grace that we have heard the gospel, just by grace. I have heard this undeserving good news that the Lord, who is holy, without any flaw, without any need or deserving, for he knows no sin, no curse and no death, yet he became that to make a way for a sinner like me to walk on, to follow him and come to the Father. Therefore, remembering that this has been my choice. It is my choice. So I cannot grumble. I cannot complain. I cannot turn back. I have decided to follow the Lord. Even if there's crossing for me, before me, the world is now behind me. I must press on until I finish the way. And the Lord helps us. The Lord helps us. He answers our prayers and he reassures us that we are walking the right path. In times of need, we need healing. In times of a situation where we need a job and help, he hears us and saying, I'm with you. I walked away. I walked this path. And now I'm with you. In my name, it's the Holy Spirit, I'm with you. I will be with you, as the Lord said, as we're ascending to heaven before the disciples, that I will be with you to the end of the very age. He is with us. He is with those who walk the way of faith. Hallelujah. Let's read what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. The time for my departure is near. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. These words are not the words of Yeshua. These are words of the Apostle Paul, born Jew, a Pharisee, and it was perfect one, abiding the law. And he thought he was being faithful to the Jewish faith, to Judaism, to Jehovah, his Lord God, when he was persecuting the followers of this cult leader named Yeshua. But on his way to persecute and arrest more Christians, on his way to Damascus, he hears the voice of the Lord. And he's saying, I am Yeshua whom you persecute. The moment that Paul heard that voice, he was named Saul then. The moment that he heard the voice of the Lord, his world just shattered. His world just darkened and fell apart. The world that he knew was the Jewish faith. And he was devoted, a zealous Jew. But he realized the one who's speaking to him, the one who sees him, is the Creator, the Lord of all. And his name is Yeshua, whom he was persecuting. And how can he now expect to live and not be punished forever in hell? But then understanding, after that losing his sight, and he is now separated and spending days and days and studying the word in repentance, and he receives the Holy Spirit and is baptized, he realized that Yeshua, by his grace, made a way. made a way. Made a way for him to come to the Father. It is not by his doing. It is not by walking this path of making pilgrimage, doing religious things, but it is by believing, receiving his grace, and then by the power of the Holy Spirit until arriving at the Father's house, walking the way of faith. What is the way of faith? The way of the cross. And that's what he outlined in 2 Corinthians 11:16 on, talking about the suffering that he was boasting. He said, if you excuse me, let me boast on my weaknesses. He received 39 lashes, 40 minus 1, 39 lashes by his fellow Jews, 5 times. He was in prison also. He was flogged 3 times, pelted with stones, shipwrecked 3 times. And he spent a whole week in open sea. He was chased by bandits, also by his fellow Jews. He knew hunger for days. He did not eat. He went thirsty. He knew cold, and he also knew being naked. He was naked. He went through the cold, and he endured all the suffering. From Damascus to Europe, he traveled 3 times, and finally he was martyred in Jerusalem around 65 AD. They say Jesus died around 30 AD. Paul died about 30 years after that. He never saw Yeshua. Yes, he heard the voice of the Lord. But what Paul and we have in common is the same Holy Spirit. Having received the same Holy Spirit, his life changed completely. His way became the way of the Lord, a way of the cross. Cross is not what you wear around your neck and your earrings or hang on a building. The cross is a way of life, which is to deny the self. What the self wants to eat, what the self wants to do, what the self wants to listen to, hear and watch and touch, to be with and do all the things that the flesh lusts after, I have to deny. That's the way of the cross. The cross is not a decoration or jewelry or a physical robe, but the cross is to say no to this fleshly desires, worldly ambitions, greed, stubbornness, arrogance, disobedience, rebellious heart, all of these things I need to say no, no, no to and become nothing. To follow the way of Yeshua. To follow his footsteps. As gold, when it's given to a master or someone who's a craftsman, as I heard, I spoke with you to you last week, it has to be thrown into the furnace. And when it's purified, then it can be turned into jewelry pieces or any other articles for use. So I need to be thrown down and burnt up and purified, shaken up and reshaped and molded to come out as pure gold and to be used to serve the Lord. And this is all result of my choice. How many of you believe that you chose the way? That no one is forcing you. Amen? So even though the word is difficult, yeah, someone said like, COG is really difficult. This is a serious church. Like, you got that right. This person was paying attention, yes. You could go to many, many churches out there. But when you look at the Bible, you got to compare with the Bible. You got to compare with the Bible. Not compare with, look at all these many people. No, 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 not numbers. That's what algorithm is, popularity is, AI is, data is, it's all about the number, majority. But God is not pleased with majority. He's pleased with those few of faith. Amen? And who are men of faith, heroes of faith, who walk on the way of faith and finish the way of faith. Finish the way of faith. If I'm going the way, every day it is about praying and I'm to obey, and now it's like halfway and now we're going to the retreat on top of that. Now you're telling us to give blood. It's like, what's got to do with blood? The COG is always inventing things to keep us busy. It's like, Dr. Evil is going to the room. Be like, how do we make these people miserable? That's not what we're doing here. To constantly remind us that we are walking the way, because when we are slowing down, we look around. And perhaps even look back. But the command to the people of Israel was to not even look back. Not look back. Do not turn back. Just like the command that was given to Lot and his family. But the wife turned back. She turned to a pillar of salt. The walking the way is to not turn back. Not to even slow down. But to keep on pressing the way. Finish the race. That's our goal. Until we reach the finish line, we are to not turn back. Amen? I shared with you that I was going to Kentucky, but I could not go. And it was just unexpected thing after another. We expected from the get-go it was going to be unexpected because many of you served in Kentucky during the flood, the post-flood work with Samaritan's Purse. It's the poorest part of the country, eastern Kentucky. And the church that we met with and formed a relationship with, the Happy Church in Jackson, Kentucky, they had told us that a lot of families left after the flood. And they run this summer program. Other churches come and volunteer to serve the community, and they've done that for years. But they had no expectation of how many kids were coming or what kind of kids were coming and what condition. I mean, they knew some because some of them are church members. They had a second campus where Hyunjun, Sam Kim, his team during some entrance purse work, cleaned out. So that's how we met the Happy Church. And that building was, the chapel itself is just destroyed. They can't even fix it, so they're going to shut it down. So they stopped having service there. The gym is where they cleaned up, repaired, and are renovating, so that they could start having worship there. So they were going to have a tool, because we had asked, we want to maximize our time there. When we were there for 4 days of service, or 3 days of service, we want to maximize. So that was the plan, and it was very difficult to plan because we didn't know how many kids were going to be there and what the age range was. The age range was potty trained till 13 or something like that. It's like, oh wow, we don't know. So it was very unknown, but in spite of that, prayed and prepared, like maximum preparation and expect just anything. That was our motto, like maximum preparation for plan A, B, C, D, but really go in not understanding. Come Monday, our flight was at 9:45 a.m. I go there, there's a lot of people waiting online. We had no idea what was going on. And the thing said it was on time, but every 45 minutes, every hour, it kept saying it was delay, delay, delay. So we were there in the afternoon, still waiting. It was a two-hour flight, and then we boarded the plane. And then 2 hours later, they told us to get off the plane because the pilot clocked out, because the ramp was closed, because it was still lightning all day Monday, if you remember. So you saw in the news, too, there was just chaos, airports in this tri-state area. So it was, and then when we come out, they don't tell us. When we come out, a few minutes later, they said the flight is canceled. So then we're sitting there trying to find a way, because this is what church has been praying for. And the prayer is, it's not because of VBS, but it's through that we want to serve the community. We want to bring the good news. And even with these young souls, share the good news and also help them to show them that that Jesus loves them, that they're souls. So we wanted to do that, and we're going to find a way. Meanwhile, we're not the only ones. Thousands of people are doing the same thing. They're trying to look for flights, and they're all lining up for hours long, literally hours. And people are crying. They've been in line for like 5, 6, 7 hours by then for customer service. So we tried all that, and we said, okay, you know what? The flight's canceled. We got to claim our baggage, because we checked in all the children's supplies that we're bringing and gifts and stuff like that, checked in the bag. So let's go check the bag. So let's go down and claim the bags, because they told us to go to carousel, blah, blah, blah. You go there, and there's massive crowds down there, also in lines for hours, snaking around the area, and no activities in the carousel, nothing. Because all this stuff is stuck in the belly of the plane, and there's no manpower. Because all this is happening all at once, and it's just crazy. So we were just pulling our hair out and just thinking, you might have seen my pictures, just like sitting there, like looking at the pictures, sitting at the carousel, figuring out what to do. Program's supposed to start at Tuesday, 1 p.m., and we are there Monday evening already, been in the airport for 13 hours, and no baggage. So talking with Pastor Kang, and flight is already canceled. And I said to Bob, I said, you know, I think we have to drive. Like, I could not even imagine driving myself. Like, that, it's 10, 11 hours away, and it's very, very difficult, those of you who have done it. So I said, I think we have to drive. I'm like, where are we going to rent a car from? We hear from people, there's no rental, no hotel in the area, because all these people are doing the same thing. So then Pastor Kang was saying, like, all your gifts and the children, because children, it's important to have visuals, right? That's how they learn. So our team has worked very hard to prepare all of that. But all of that would be gone and without the luggage, so we had to retreat. Pastor Kang being like a captain, like from headquarters, and retreat. So we left the airport, but Hyunjun stayed back, and he stayed 3 more hours waiting for the baggage, and they said, no baggage today, no manpower, go home. So we all came home Tuesday morning praying. I called the Happy Church, and they were silent on the other end. My heart just dropped. I was like, oh, they were so disappointed. I'm like, And we were just in a daze. We're exhausted and just like not in reality here. So next morning, Pastor Kang and I individually crying out, praying. And then we have another meeting for hours and on the phone looking up. She said, in my ministry, I've never had any experience of retreating, like backing down. We decided on something and we went. Like, we will break through obstacles and we will do it. And it, whether it was construction of the church or gathering, whatever it is, we've always broke through. And she said, I'm now regretting and repenting how we retreated. We got to go. And I said, I believe so. We got to go. So then she had said, because now I have retreat coming up for me to travel out and it will take so long and I have a service to prepare. And she said, I think you need to be benched. So I was benched. So I felt very, I'm like, I'm benched for the championship game next week. I was benched. So it was heartbroken. But, and I said to Bob, like, you could sit out. Like, the elders sit out and then let's recruit younger people. And Bob's like, no, I'm going. So he rented the car that morning and they left Tuesday at 11 a.m. Drove all day and they arrived 1 a.m. there. And during that time, my heart, my focus was all in that, connecting with them and just seeing what's going on. From there on, every step of the way, they had, I was communicating with them, and God bless them because they never once complained, never looked upset. It was already determined. We had to go and serve there. And the children that they got to meet are these really poor children who are not only poor, but come from abusive backgrounds, drug using, poor parents who are probably also victims from the previous generation because this is generational poverty and addiction. And these children, if you've seen the pictures, they're just like kids. Like I see a picture with Aaron and them like laughing and doing selfie, but their home is hopeless. So we were communicating back every single day, even though I'm preparing for the retreat. I just cannot focus. I feel like I should have been there because I'm getting huge cankers in my mouth. I can't even swallow and eat because I'm thinking about it. And the very final day, Pastor King and I shared the pictures and she told me tearfully and she said, I'm thinking, I'm kind of relating to their situation. She gone through Korean War at the age of 10, poverty. She knew despair at the age of 10, but she did not know it's called despair. Like she knew sadness. She knew like seeing her family not having money and not having hope. Like she did not know how to put words to it, but that was how she felt. Her older sister was old enough to actually spell that out and she committed suicide because of that despair. So Pastor Kang like wanting us to like serve the community and preach the good news and planting the seed of hope. And as our team was doing their best, smiling and teaching them the gospel, the theme was Jesus the Way. That was the t-shirt and preach them that their souls, that they need to be saved from the burning universe. The same thing that you hear, they did it over there. And they say, while you're alive, you have to come back to church. Your church here isn't a happy church. Come back, come back. That's, and you have to come to worship and come belong to the church. That's what they did. But now like, to send them home. They're going home with goodie bags, but it was not quite enough or as much as we wanted them to have. So Pastor Kang said, let's give them gift cards. So it's like, this is Friday, and I called Bob, and they had to be checked out from the Airbnb. It was crazy. So they had to go to Walmart, but it was not easy because there's a limit to how many gift cards to buy. We wanted to buy 60, 50, and 60. It was crazy. But we were like the command tower here and headquarters and directing, and God bless them. They were just running back and forth and doing all of that. But because the way of the Lord has been decided. And this is just a glimpse, just a taste. And I just wanted to share that with you. You'll hear more details from them, from their perspective on Friday. But the way of the Lord is fighting these obstacles to bring the good news, to die along the way, because that's what the Lord did. The Lord said the will of the Father is everyone to look to the Son and have eternal life. And that will involve sacrifice, that will involve persecution, that will involve death even. But the Lord did it successfully. And the heart of the Lord is, follow me, follow my way, become nothing, give yourself away, lay yourself down, and share that life, preach the good news, and I will take care of you, I will strengthen you, and you will be led to the Father's house. Hallelujah! So we began that work and we're so grateful that we were able to finish, but we believe that it's just the beginning. We hope that it is the beginning. As we're thinking of our church schedule, we are going to retreat, but many of you know that after that, after the dedication, after that, the regional group, there's just so many things to do. But we have to be grateful for that. Because without doing all of that, how do we know that we are walking the path that is the road of the cross that leads us to the Father's house? It is by my decision I'm walking the path, even if it's difficult, even if it's lonely. The way has been decided. Where there is will, there is the way. So it is according to the Father's will that we have the way, made the way, and that was experienced with the Kentucky team, the mission team of the VBS team there. But everything that we do in the name of Yeshua, whatever, even if it's giving blood, donating blood, whatever the church is doing, it is showing us that this is the way of the Lord. The Lord gave himself away. We are trying to follow him. And in the end, we will see his face, have that promised eternal life, and dwell with him forever. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Let's close our eyes. Have you been doubting? Have you been double-minded? Should I keep going or should I stop? Should I look the other way and go back? Or look for plan B? This is for you. It's time for you to choose. Choose and not look back. Choose and not turn back. This is my decision. I have made the decision to follow Yeshua. For he is good. So good. He will never let me down. I will never be disappointed. He will never, never let me down. For he has finished the way and is waiting for me at the other end. Let's raise our hands to heaven where our Father is waiting. He is saying, just a little longer, my child. Just a little longer, my son. Just a little bit longer, my daughter. Keep on going and finish the way. So help me, Yeshua! Yeshua.